And episode one of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by... We just started. We don't have a sponsor yet, at least.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
Shout out to Nate Ryland. We have his song Drugs on License on use for the open for the show. Appreciate you, Nate, working with us. Shout out to voiceover extraordinaire Dan Kelly. Maybe you hear him sometimes on MLB Network. Voice in our open. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I've been talking about this for months because I have with friends behind the scenes. My name's Ralphie Aversa. I am a diehard, lifelong fan of the New York Yankees. Fanatic. Travel every year to go see them play. Get to a lot of games here in the city where we're coming at you from today. I not only love the team, but I am fascinated by the things that happen around the team, whether it's the stadium and cool places to watch a game from, or how to buy tickets, or how much to pay for tickets, or the food to eat inside the stadium, something we're going to cover quite a bit on this episode. New merchandise being sold, new deals being made with the team and licensing and so on and so forth. We're going to discuss all of that regarding our team that we love, the 27-time world champion New York Yankees, here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. We'll explain the name of the podcast as well coming up. The format every week will go like this. I will have a rotating list of guest co-hosts that will join me to start the show. We'll talk about the week that was for the Yankees. This week in particular, we have Mike Isserlis, who I went to school at Syracuse University with. Diehard Yankees fan like myself, also lives here in the city. We will break down the week that was for the Yankees, especially this awesome road trip in Anaheim. Mike and I chatted before the Sunday night game, the finale that the Yankees ended up winning 2-1, thanks to a great start again from CC Sabathia and the Sanchino, Gary Sanchez. Gary is scary. Little two-run knock. Not a little knock. That was a bomb he sent. Talk about the Yankees a little bit, and we will talk about Mike's go-to food at the stadium. His experience watching the Sanchez walk-off. He was at the Thursday day game last week. I was not there. We'll explain why when we chat with Mike. And then later, another person I went to Syracuse with, another classmate of mine, and no, that will not be the requirement to get on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. You will not have to be both a Yankees fan and a Syracuse University alum. But Brad Holtzman, who I went to school with, is one of the creators behind the taquitos, the taco cups that are sold in the stadium in section 127 in the food court. So we will chat with him about the taco cups, how he created them, what his backstory is, how he got them into the stadium, why they cost $12, what different options are available? What's it like for a Yankees fan to have his food sold in the stadium? We're covering it all. Again, different types of conversations. We're not doing sports talk radio here. We're not doing like the fans' perspective on Aaron Boone's lineup, although we will talk about those things occasionally, no question, because at the end of the day, we want the Yankees to win. What matters first and foremost is what's happening on the field. But this is going to be a conversation about other things that happen outside of the field. It's the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, and it's episode one. Let's do it. Okay, Pinstripe Lanes podcast, episode one. Hello, my name is Ralphie Aversa. Mike Isserlis, who went to school with me at Syracuse University, lives here in the city, diehard Yankees fan, here to open up our show with us. We'll chat about the week that was for the Yankees this great weekend. We're taping this Sunday night before the final game in the set between the Yanks and the Angels. The Yankees, of course, have already won two games in Anaheim, so already a pretty good road trip. At least it's off to a good start. We'll chat about that in just a little bit. And don't forget, a little later, another Syracuse classmate of mine, Brad Holtzman, one of the guys behind the taco cups that are sold in section 127, the food court. We'll chat with him and find out how he got his food into the stadium and what the taco cup is exactly, so on and so forth. But of course, Mike, this is the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. It's an ode to the old ballpark lanes that was on River Avenue across from the old stadium, open until the end of the 2009 season. Had you ever gone, by the way, to the old ballpark lanes, which was an actual bowling alley in the Bronx?
You know, I never made it inside ballpark lanes myself, Ralphie, unfortunately.
I don't know if it still exists online, because I know, you know, CBS now, Intercom, took down a lot of the clips from YouTube. But there's an old Francesa clip that's hilarious, where a guy tries to tell him that his favorite place to go before games, old stadium, mind you, it was around until the end of the 09 season, was ballpark lanes. And Francesa does it like in typical like Francesa fashion, just dismisses him, doesn't believe him at all, doesn't think there's actually a bowling alley across from the old stadium. When in fact, yeah, there was a bowling alley for a number of years in the Bronx called Ballpark Lanes, right there on River Avenue. And me and my boys used to always love going there because, as opposed to stands, it wasn't always jam-packed, and it was much easier to get a beer there because not only did they have a bar, but for game days, they'd have a number of beer stations set up, not just in the bar area, but throughout the actual bowling alley as well. So it was a little easier to maneuver, a little easier to grab a beer, not to mention the beers were only $5, which relative to stands, I believe, is a little cheaper.
And what about being a younger fan? Were they harsh on ID? I mean, they're closed now. Were you able to use any sort of ID, or was it, were they on the up and up?
I wouldn't say parent note, but definitely not strict. I was drinking there before the age of 21 with a fake ID.
They were pretty loose. They were very accommodating to you in the group.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because
I'm... Listen, that's important in a pregame spot as well if you're not 21.
All of those things tied in. A lot of great memories with Ballpark Lanes, and sadly, you know, a lot of great memories with the old stadium, and, you know, Ballpark Lanes was around until the end of the 09 season. In 2010, they were allegedly closed for renovations. They never reopened. Now the building is knocked down, and I think they're putting high-rises there, which... New York City real estate. What else is new? So we've found other places to go and grab a pregame pop or two ahead of time. But Pinstripe Lanes Podcast, we're going to call it Ballpark Lanes Podcast. A, you don't have the alliteration. B, I don't know if they ever trademarked Ballpark Lanes. So we went with...
I think Pinstripe Lanes sounds better anyway.
I concur. I concur. So here we are, episode one. We always will start off the episode. We'll have a rotating list of guest co-hosts who will kind of join us, talk about the current state of the Yankees and any personal fan experiences they have. Mike, as we mentioned, Yankees on the West Coast right now. They've already taken 2 of 3 as of this taping from the Angels. I feel like two big headlines right now are A, Didi Gregorius and the early MVP campaign he's putting forth, which I don't think we could say any more about it.
I'm absolutely
curious, though, as to B, and I think there's a lot to dive into here, not that we need to dive into all of it, but how Aaron Boone has done so far a month into his first job as a MLB manager. What have you thought of Boone?
I mean, it was tough from the beginning. You know, you wanted to believe he had some things to learn about being a manager. Typically, you know, we saw this past weekend when to challenge a play, you know, could come into effect sometimes. You may be a little late to the trigger on. But ultimately, you know, when we didn't say we're going to hire Aaron Boone, a guy with no coaching managerial experience, my first reaction was we have to trust Brian Cashman. I mean, he has had the golden touch for over a year now. And right now, I think, you know, he's rewarding Brian Cashman. They've won 8 in a row. Team's offense is number one across most offensive statistics. And the starting pitching's been phenomenal to go along with the hitting so far.
You know, I will say, as far as Boone, especially this weekend, you mentioned the replay call. First of all, Boone messes up. You know, I saw a lot of the headlines. And again, it's like clickbait. You know, oh, Aaron Boone pulls a Joe Girardi, so on and so forth. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, he didn't cost us a playoff game in October. This is a game.
No, certainly not.
The Angels in April. And if, you know, look, any reasonable Yankees fan going into this season should have known that there's going to be a learning curve. I don't mind, especially considering it didn't cost us the game. And considering, you know, I got to give Boone props on two other aspects. A, the way he used the bullpen in the Friday night game. And also, B, the way he used the lineup. He could have pinch ran Sanchez with Gardner. Instead, he held Gardner until Torreyes' spot came up in the lineup. Obviously, Gardner got the sac fly that tied the game. And DH, which we lost because he moved Andujar to third, that never mattered because thanks to the aforementioned Didi Gregorius. So I give Boone some credit there. There's going to be a learning curve, but what are you going to do?
I'll say this for Aaron Boone. Yeah. Ralph, we have the fourth best record in baseball right now. How much more could you ask of the guy, I guess, at this point in the season?
We're playing well. We mentioned the aforementioned Didi Gregorius and that go-ahead home run he hit in the 10th inning on Friday night.
Yes.
The curtain call that he got was awesome. People ask me all the time, because obviously my full-time job, I'm in the entertainment industry, and they say, why wouldn't you go to Los Angeles? One of the reasons why is because Los Angeles is a terrible sports town, and that is a perfect example of it right there. Now, granted, Mike, have you ever been to Angel Stadium or no?
I have not been to Angel Stadium, but the idea of an opposing team player getting a curtain call, it's just mind-boggling. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I've been there on a number of different occasions. The most recent time was 2 years ago. And I got to look this up real quick because there's a place, if you ever go out to Angel Stadium, there is a, and I believe so long as you have a ticket, you can get in. Let me search Angel Stadium Restaurant here on Google. Angel Stadium Restaurant, I believe it's called, is it St. Archer Brewing Company, which is inside of, it's inside of the stadium, of Angel Stadium. It's called St. Archer Brewing Company. It's out in, I believe, right field. Great views of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. Any ticket gets you into there. That would be my go-to if you're going to Angel Stadium. I will say, it's in Anaheim. It's not really, I mean, that's why they have like the long name. It's not in, you know, downtown LA or West Hollywood. So to get out there now with Uber makes it a little easier, although that's pricey. If you're doing public transportation, well, that's another reason why I don't live in LA. Forget about it.
I'd say California doesn't offer much in the way of public transportation.
No, I tried the last time I was there. I tried to do public transportation. I almost got myself lost in the process, and thankfully Uber came to the rescue, and I was able to get to the ballpark in time for first pitch. So nice people, nice fans. The area around, I haven't really explore too much, but as far as like the actual ballpark, going to a game, if you're making a West Coast trip anyways and the Yankees are in town, I would say go for it. And I wouldn't always say that, i.e. Oakland or U.S. Cellular where the White Sox play. I mean, there are some, Tampa is another one, a stadium I visited and will never go back to and wouldn't recommend anyone go to. But as far as Angel Stadium, I would say definitely worth the trip. It's right by Honda Center, where, of course, the Ducks play. And then, of course, Disneyland, if you're there with the family or the missus or whoever the case may be. All right, real quick here as we wrap up, and a big thanks again to Mike Asterlis joining us on the episode of Pinstripe Lanes Podcast. Well, we're happy that you're here. You were at two games last week, including a game you invited me to, and I couldn't go to because of work, and I'm still kicking myself because you saw the Sanchez walk-off. What was it like in the stadium for a 1 o'clock day game last Thursday?
Obviously, it was a beautiful day, mid-60s, sun shining, day off of work. What better way to spend the time than popping up to Yankee Stadium? Interesting note, I did end up going by myself since Ralphie spurned my invitation, which is fine.
That's the sign of a true fan right there, which I like, and that's why you're here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sat in the bleachers, 203, you know. I had to be there for the roll call. People were enjoying themselves, having a few inebriation, a few drinks along the way. I will be honest, through the first six innings, the Yankees did not get a hit. And it was a pretty boring game, and you have a lot of time to think to yourself about the way you've spent this afternoon. You go to the stadium alone. Yeah, I got the thick cut bacon, which is always a treat that I know, you know, Paul O'Neill and David Cohen have been talking about a little bit on the broadcast lately. A couple beers. I usually go Goose IPA if I can plug that brand a little bit. But ultimately, you know, good things are happening. In the ninth, you're down 3-1. With this lineup, Ralphie, you always have a chance to come back, of course. So no reason to consider heading to the exits early. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the Twins, you know, they couldn't win a game in the Bronx to save their lives. So started at the top bottom of the ninth. They made two back-to-back errors at third base. And we got two on, no one out for Gary Sanchez, of course. Put it into the left field seats and somehow sent a really weird, quiet, nothing going on, no hit into the sixth game. Day into a beautiful walk-off home run for Gary Sanchez, who, you know, the first baby bomber who we love so much. So it was a pretty interesting day at the ballpark, I'd say, overall.
Last question, yes. Mike. On an ideal day, and I don't know if you had a chance to do this on Thursday, but an ideal day, an ideal trip to the ballpark, do you have one thing that you always need to, whether it's eat, drink, see, experience, do, like Yankee Stadium? Again, we all have crazy schedules, so sometimes you get to the game right before first pitch. Sometimes maybe you're even running a little late. Sometimes you're up in the Bronx an hour or 2 hours but before first pitch. Is there one thing that you always try to do when you go up there?
Well, love to go to the dugout before the game, if possible, for a quick drink. It's my new, since the new stadium opened, you know, it's been a bit of my spot to go to, so I love the dugout. Right now, though, I've been to three Yankee games this year, two, as we said, last week. The latest two games they won. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I know I mentioned it before, I got to go with the thick cut bacon. I got to get it when I get to the stadium because they've won the last two games. I've started the day with that, and I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to get next game I go to, I'm getting the thick cut bacon. It might be May 12th. You're welcome to join, Ralphie. And ideally, I like to sit in the bleachers myself just because you can, you know, really embrace the hardcore fans in their element.
Thick cut bacon sold over in right field. How much is it?
It is $7.50. I believe. And I remember the guy in front of me got two, and he was questioning the price. And it was a little bit weird. I'll say this about the thick cut bacon. They do serve it on a stick, so you eat it almost like a lollipop in a weird way. Guy in front of me wanted his sliced up and put in a tray, if you will. Oh, never seen that happen before. He went and put it in the tray sliced. Yeah, and I thought they were doing that as a way to serve it now. So when I got to the front of the line, I said, hey, I'd like to have mine on a stick. I don't know what you think we're doing here, but don't slice mine up and put it in a tray like this. And they said that gentleman requested his served that way. So I'm not sure what he was thinking on that day, but I usually get it right outside gate 6 sometimes. They do sell it behind the bleachers as well. And I've seen it in a couple other places. But right when you walk in the stadium through that main gate in the Grand Concourse, grab yourself a thick-cut bacon. Tell them Mike sent you. They probably have no idea who you're talking about. And you'll enjoy a really nice treat when you get in.
Yeah, I think $7.50 is a good price point. There are a lot of good value options that are have a different spin on them inside the stadium. And one of those are the taquitos, the taco cups. And the guy, as I mentioned, who created them is a Syracuse University alum and a friend, Brad Holtzman. We will speak with him next here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Mike Asterlis, great job, buddy. Thanks for making some time.
Thanks for having me. Great being here.
All right, and welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, episode numero uno. And thank you if you have already. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes and Google Play, and of course, pinstripelanespodcast.com. Okay, as we mentioned at the top of the show, our guest this week is somebody who, someone else who I went to school with at Syracuse University, and he's taken a very interesting career path since we left SU that has landed him well in the food court at Yankee Stadium behind Section 127, to be exact. His name is Brad Holtzman, and he joins us now here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Brad, thanks so much for making some time for us, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So, obviously, behind Section 127 is where you sell in Yankee Stadium taco cups, right? That's the official title, because I know there's your company's Taquitos or no?
Yeah. So we're in between company names. We are eventually going to launch our new company name, Taquitos Especiales. Currently, our taquitos can be located, as you said, in Section 127, and on the cups they are branded taco cups. So to give a brief overview, it's not a partnership or a sponsorship with the Yankees. They've just decided that they wanted to serve taquitos at the stadium, and ours are the best in the biz. So they are using our taquitos for all Yankee-related taquito sales at the ballpark.
Now, we should mention that the taquitos are also sold at Madison Square Garden. So if you're listening right now and you're like, wait, I think I've had those somewhere else. Well, you very well may have. But I love the taquitos at the stadium, not just because they taste good, but also the actual cups are branded with the pinstripes. Whose idea was that?
Thank you so much. That was definitely our idea. Through, you know, thousands and thousands of taquitos sold and trips to ballparks and stadiums, we realized that there's definitely a gap in the market and something missing. We wanted to be able to enjoy taquitos at a game, have them be able to sit in the cup holder and not spill your food every time your team scores or hits a ball out of the ballpark.
All right. Brad Holtzman is here. Again, I mentioned he is one of the guys behind the taco cups, the taquitos that are sold in Section 127 of Yankee Stadium. So if you're looking for a new food option, or maybe, you know, when the stadium first opened in 09, you went to the food court, but you don't really go back there that much since, well, you should definitely check it out because a lot's changed since 09. There's a huge bar in the middle, and obviously the taco cups are served there as well. You keep mentioning we. Who else is partnered with you in this venture, Brad?
We have two business partners, Barry Frisch, who is a former fine dining chef who's now a chef consultant, and Iron Chef Mark Forgione from restaurant Mark Forgione in Tribeca, along with American Cut Restaurants, both in New York and outside.
When we had first linked up, like post Syracuse, or at least like exchange messages, we had a mutual friend who was frequenting the restaurant that you had on the Lower East Side. So I guess what happened from that point to you getting this product into Yankee Stadium?
So our restaurant in the Lower East Side was in existence from 2013 to 2016, feeding the late night crowds after, you know, a long night of bar hopping or in some cases, restaurant service, open till 4 a.m., serving delicious taquitos late night. And because we never sought out outside investment. We really put that restaurant together by the skin of our teeth. And after 3.5 years, while still being successful, we found ourselves in quicksand where every dollar profit we earned had to go right back into the restaurant. We started this business to hopefully take our product national and to sell as many taquitos as humanly possible. So I approached my partners and I said, guys, our business is moving along, but in order to grow our business, I think it's in our best interest to cut off our largest overhead spending, which is our actual restaurant and storefront, and focus our energy more towards our wholesale and our stadium operations. So after a short meeting, we all agreed that in order to grow our company as big as possible, that we're going to make that step. So it was a sad emotional moment to close the restaurant down and, you know, kind of say goodbye to a lot of our community and our family and friends down there and to start a new chapter. And that was basically a frozen food company. And here we are a year later, serving taquitos both the Madison Square Garden and Yankee Stadium and working on more and more venues as we speak.
Brad Holtzman here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I'm Ralph Yaversa, and he's one of the guys behind the taco cups, the taquitos that are sold in Section 127. What's the process like to get your food sold in Yankee Stadium? Like, what can you tell me about that?
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Good breaks and believing in yourself is really all I can tell you. First and foremost, if the Yankees want a taquito or any product in their ballpark, they carry all the weight in the world. So they have every product to choose from. So in order for you even to be considered, you have to have a product that sets itself apart, both on price point and quality and taste. And then afterwards, the only thing I can really share with you is relationships. You have to make the right connections and hopefully work your way to a point where your product gets in front of the right people and they believe in you, they believe in the product, and they believe in what you're trying to accomplish every single day. Relationships are the only real reason I can tell you we're in any of these stadiums.
When you say price point, do you mean price point to the consumer or price point to the Yankees?
Great question. So a company like the Yankees, when they buy our product and then they resell it, they don't just get to keep all the profit. They have to share and cut out certain percentages to a third-party concessionaire. And in the Yankees instance, it's called Legends Hospitality, a company that they started, I believe, back in 2008 or 2009 when the new Dallas Stadium opened and MetLife and Yankee Stadium were opening. So our price point has to be low enough where the Yankees can buy our product, resell it, cut out a percentage of that sale back to the third-party concessionaire, and still turn a profit on their end. So it's very important that our price point is as low as humanly possible. So that way they can purchase and everybody's happy.
And obviously too, you know, at the end of the day, they're not going to sell it for a price that people aren't willing to pay for it. Otherwise then no one makes money and it's not good. And I will say, I think, I mean, I want to say that the taco cups, what are they, like 11, 12 bucks? Somewhere in that range?
Exactly. It's $12. You get four taquitos filled with nacho cheese. And it's a delicious bite of food. I call it a heavy snack or a light meal. And, you know, I don't think the idea of ballpark food is necessarily to be stuffed where you can't move. So the idea of a taquito is as a strong snack is really what we were looking for. Something you can nosh on while you're walking to and from your seat. And it gives you some opportunity to try more things out at the stadium as well.
I think it knocks down a couple misnomers about ballpark food in general, and then especially with Yankee Stadium in general, because ever since the new stadium opened in 09, they've done a good job of combating this, but there's still a bit to go, especially on the PR front. This whole idea that, you know, the stadium's only built for Wall Street and big lawyers and big corporations and stuff like that, when the fact of the matter is you can go there as a regular fan and you could, you know, you could buy to a lot of games a $5 ticket or a $15 pinstripe pass, and you could buy something for 12 bucks like a taquito that isn't going, you know, it's not like you're paying 12 bucks for a hot dog and then you're like starving afterwards and you just spent all this money. I mean, I will say for me, you know, and I haven't gotten the chicken one yet, but there's two varieties, but she mentioned that too. There's chicken and there's black bean. I tried the black bean at the Yankees taste test, and then I bought bought a Black Bean cup when I was there the first week of the home schedule, and it fills you up, man. Like I actually didn't even finish completely the one that I bought because it's a lot of food, and you know, you got the bean, you got the cheese, obviously you got the vegetables and the four taquitos. I mean, it's legit, man. How do you decide how much food you're gonna put into that taco cup?
A lot of research, and for us, just sample testing. You know, I believe it's Malcolm Gladwell who says, if you spend 10,000 hours doing something, then it makes you a bona fide expert in the field. And I'm certainly a bona fide taquito expert. And perceived value is really important in today's market, especially at Yankee Stadium. As you said, spending $12 isn't the issue at a ballpark because you're expecting to pay a higher price than you would outside of the stadium. But $12 for something that you can get outside for a dollar or two, like a hot dog, is a hard thing to swallow for a lot of guests. So for offering four taquitos at $12, we found that not only we would move the product, but we would also, you know, when the guests get back down to their seat and finish their product, they'd be very satisfied.
All right. You're a Yankees fan, right?
Yeah. Diehard Yankees fan. As my mother says, I came out wearing pinstripes.
What's it like now to have one of your creations sold at the stadium? Like, what's that like for you personally?
It's a loaded question, my friend. The first time I saw our taquitos at the ballpark, I'm pretty sure I didn't open my mouth for the first six innings because I was just in shock, awe, and wowed by the whole experience. You know, also, my career started out in fine dining. So the fact that now I'm not only pivoted fully into the fast casual wholesale game, that I am a frozen foods guy selling my food to the Yankees is it just reminds you to always believe in yourself, treat people right, and work harder than anyone you know. And the world's your oyster. Anything can happen.
Absolutely. Last question. And this may be maybe it won't be the toughest. I don't know. The one food item sold at Yankee Stadium that if taquitos weren't available, you would have to have every time you went to the stadium.
Well, this one is going to come straight out of my mother's mouth, and that would be a classic hot dog. But if you don't want the answer of a traditionalist, I would say their brand new, cheeseburger wonton creations that Chef Matt Gibson of the New York Yankees, the executive chef, created this year, would have to be something that stands out. Not only is something I've never had before, something that caught my eye and was delicious. Cheeseburgers and wontons in the same bite. Sure sounds like a New York ballpark food.
I was overwhelmed. They did, you know, Matt and the whole Legends Hospitality staff did this thing for the media because there's so many new items or newer items at the ballpark this year. There's some new vegan items. There's obviously the cheeseburger wonton creation that Brad talked about. There's a new bar out in the bleachers with Blue Point, and they're putting like the Yankees logo in the foam, and they have a new like a Blue Point pinstripe brew as well. I think it's like an IPA, and that was pretty good. Then there's the milkshake, so there's a lot going on. But obviously, in the food court, section 127, that's where you can find the taquitos taco cups and one of the guys behind
it. And a quick little plug. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, sure.
Our taquitos are 100% soy, wheat, shellfish, and gluten and nut free. So for all you celiacs out there, for anybody who is trying to avoid bread and wheat and flour, our product is not only crunchy and delicious, it is 100% gluten free for you. And our black bean taquitos are both vegetarian and can be served vegan for all the health conscious eaters out there.
I'm going to be honest, you know, and that was one of the things I was most excited about when I went to the taste test. You know, Bear Burger obviously has a couple vegan options this year that I think are absolutely fantastic. I didn't realize I could ask for the taquitos vegan. I was kind of, not that I was completely avoiding the cheese, but you know, I was kind of maybe digging around it a little bit. So I didn't know that was a thing, really.
It is a thing. You know, as former fine dining restaurant people, it was important for us, if we were going to open a fast casual concept, to, you know, cast the widest net possible. And we didn't want to single anybody out for not being able to eat certain foods. And the quickest way and the most effective modern foods to avoid are probably wheat, gluten, dairy, things like that. So we were able to come up with an absolutely delicious product that doesn't have any replacement dairy or replacement meat or anything like that. It's just void of all those things and truly delicious, made with real food, vegetables, and tortillas, and made with love. That's really our only secret.
Absolutely love it. Again, you can grab them over in section 127, the Pepsi food court over there. That's been there, of course, since the stadium opened in 2009. But one of the newer items, again, the taquitos, the taco cups. Brad Holtzman, one of the guys behind it, and one of my classmates at Syracuse University. As I told you when I ran into you at the taste testing, I'm so happy for you, man. And great job with the food, too, because they're delicious.
That means so much. We appreciate the support, and it was great bumping into you. Congratulations on your growing success as well, and we'll definitely connect soon as our taquito and radio lives grow together.
A big thank you to Brad Holtzman, a big thank you to Micah Serlis, a big thank you to my man King Skunk Duck Graphic Design Productions. Did a great job with our logo. Appreciate all of them. Appreciate you for tuning in. We're doing this weekly. We're taping every Sunday night. We should have a new podcast once we get approved to iTunes and Google Play each and every Monday morning for you here with the Pinstripe Lanes Podcast. You can find us at pinstripelanespodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in.